Welcome to Postscript. I'm Dave Severns. I'm one of the pastors at Compass Point. And with me today is Pastor Chris Heiss.
Hey, Dave.
How are you doing, Chris?
I'm great.
I'm also doing well. It is Monday. We are excited. Whenever you are listening to this, we're so glad you are here with us. So on Postscript, normally we sit down and we talk about what we have learned together on Sunday, what we've heard in the preaching time. And normally it's myself and whoever has preached. But this last Sunday, Paul wrapped this series, which we called Work in Progress, kind of on transformation, how we change. He's not here today, so I thought we would, you and I would talk together, which is actually great because you'll have a slightly different perspective, but also you've been a huge part of forming this series and helping us think through transformation and spiritual formation, all kinds of things. So why don't you give us a little recap from Sunday?
Yeah, glad to be here. I mean, I'm going to do my best to fill in. We'll see what happens.
It'll be great.
Sunday, if you were here, you would have heard Paul, first of all, reminding us that change is possible in our lives. I think it's important that we start from that place of kind of knowing and believing that the transformation can happen. He looked at John chapter 15. Jesus uses the illustration of the vine and the branches and kind of creates this beautiful picture of what life together with him can look like. Uses the word abide in the translation that Paul was using and this idea of making our home in God. And so we talked a bit about what that might look like. Paul went on to talk about disciplines and practices as a way, a method for abiding or remaining in Jesus, in close proximity to him. And so he talked about that, talked about this idea that, you know, disciplines are practices based on the lifestyle of Jesus. They create time and space in our lives for us to experience the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And then that's what leads to transformation, inside out transformation. So we talked about how they're personal, how they can be, you know, balanced, how they're a process for reflection in our lives, how that they push us and there is some sweat, some work involved. And he also talked about how those practices are a means, not an end.
Right.
And how, you know, the main goal of those disciplines or those spiritual practices isn't the practice themselves and like reading our Bible more or praying more or, you know, having more time in silence, but it's actually abiding with Jesus. And so that's what he gave for us on Sunday.
Yeah, no, that's really great. I've found it a really helpful analogy. We've talked about a number of times kind of this athletic analogy, which the Apostle Paul also uses. Kind of, you know, if our lives are a race, most of us, if we're not runners, and even if you are, you don't just wake up one day and you're like, I'm going to go do a marathon, right?
Absolutely.
You wake up and you think, there's a marathon in front of me. I need to start training so I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
And the analogy is not perfect. It breaks down, but I love that. We understand this in so many ways. We go to school before we pick a career. Like, you know, you have to be trained to do things. We understand this. And this is true of our spiritual lives.
Well, this too is where we get this idea of what drives us or what fuels us, which was kind of the heart of this message. You know, really as followers of Jesus, you know, I mean, for me, what fuels me is this idea that I can be in relationship with Jesus and that I can become like him.
Yeah.
And that's a deep desire of my heart that comes out. You know, I want to live a life that's more peaceful, that's less anxious, that's kind, that's generous and compassionate. You know, and so when we think about those desires that we have, you know, the way to work towards those desires is by these practices that help us to become like Jesus, because he's put those in us. I believe God has put those desires in us.
Yeah. So do you talk about that desire a little more, the desire to like want to be with Jesus and like Jesus. I think for a lot of people, and even for myself at times, like, I know that's a good thing. I know it's something I should want, but the truth is I really like Netflix or like, sure, you know, pick your distraction.
Yeah.
I really like scrolling on my phone. Sure. I'm kind of like, this would be nice, but I'd like it to be easier. Like this app that I'm on now. Right.
Absolutely.
How do we uncover that desire to be more like Jesus in us? How do we cultivate it so that we can get kind of the motivation to dig into the discipline?
Well, I think that's really where this idea of training comes into play. You know, I there's kind of two levels of desires that we deal with. And you can read about this if you read psychologists or sociologists and things like that. But there is kind of those kind of middle level desires, things like you're talking about, like, hey, I just want to sleep. I just want to eat junk food. I just want to, you know, watch Netflix. I want to be entertained, like whatever it is. And those are very real. Those are real desires that we have. But I think for most of us, if we were to sit down quietly and really think about our deepest desires, they're often a level lower than that. You know, like, I want to be valued. I want to feel loved. I want to be a person who is productive in some way and like brings value to society. I want, and for, you know, Christians especially, I think there's this idea that we do want to experience the love of God, and we right. want to know God, and we want to live in ways that are generous and compassionate. So I think there's that, those are some of our deepest desires.
Yeah.
And I would suggest that God has put those in us as his creation. And so that's where this training idea comes in, because, you know, without kind of an intentional plan to see those desires, you know, growing in us and being fulfilled in our lives, we end up doing unintentional things which shape us. Things that are probably a little bit easier, come a little more naturally, you know, that kind of are more those mid-level desire type things. Because let's face it, I mean, it's a lot easier to sit and eat a bag of chips than it is to go on a running program, at least for me.
I don't know what you're talking. I mean, am I a football fan, and did I watch the Super Bowl last night just for the snacks? Maybe.
Sure.
Yeah. No, I hear you. So it does kind of take, and this is a funny thing about of spiritual formation, about following Jesus, right? Like it's all, through grace by faith, right? Sure. Like it is all the work of God in us. We kind of can't take the credit.
Right.
But it does require something of us.
Well, there's two sides of formation. There's the work that we put in, which is I don't know the exact percentages, but it's a small percentage. And then there's the work that the Holy Spirit does in us, which is the mysterious work. I mean, we often talk about transformation as a metamorphosis. That's the word that Paul uses when he talks about being transformed in Romans 12.
Right.
And when you see a caterpillar turning into a butterfly that's being metamorphosized, whatever that word is, it's mysterious. We don't see what happens. I mean, it's a mind-boggling process that takes place. In our lives, it's the same way. You know, some have said that, you know, we do the work we can do so that God does the work that we cannot do.
Right.
And this idea that we offer a little something to God in this intentional plan of formation, so that he therefore can kind of give us grace to be able to do way, way more than we could do on our own.
Yeah. And it takes us back to, I mean, we did the tree series a year ago now, I think it was. And again, all of the, I'm reminded lately, almost all the metaphors we have in the Bible are agrarian. Mm-hmm. They're about growth and gardening and that kind of thing. And most of our metaphors today for talking about things are programming and computers.
Right.
Very on off, very binary, very like input the right thing, output the right thing. And it's like very on us. Whereas, even though we understand how some of the processes in gardening and in growth work now, we certainly can't control the weather. We can't control the sun. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of things as we sit here in this oddly warm Canadian winter, all kinds of things that are outside of our control.
Well, I think the technological things are not only familiar, but they also speak to our desire for speed.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm the first to admit that these deep desires that I have, one of the reasons why I struggle to kind of put regular rhythms and practices in place is because that's slow and tedious work.
Yeah.
You know, I want to flip a switch. You know, I want to put myself in a microwave and come out, you know, all ready to go. And unfortunately, that's just not how God has created us. There are seasons, there's ups and downs, and there's a slow process of change.
Yeah. So talk to me, let's get back to abiding.
Yeah.
And I want to hear from you a little bit on what abiding has looked like in your life. Is this related to your rule of life? What kind of practices? How do you abide well?
Sure. It's a great question. I mean, for me, I would say I've really struggled with the idea of abiding over the years. I think there's times when, as a Christian, a young Christian person, you know, this deep desire that I had to know God, to experience him, to have this confidence of knowing that God was working deeply in my life, sometimes I would say that felt unmet. You know, that I was hoping and yearning for something that I maybe didn't feel I was experiencing.
Yeah.
And say, I'm not feeling, I don't know what level I'm supposed to feel this on. Is it an emotional level? Is there something that happens physically? Like, does lightning strike? I mean, how does this look? So I think a big part of my journey, especially as I've entered kind of the second half of life, is, you know, realizing that part of abiding with Jesus is not necessarily these kind of big miraculous things that take place. It's not necessarily warm, mushy feelings that I have, but it's actually just noticing him in the ordinary days.
Yeah.
And that's been one of the biggest changes for me. I've kind of had to take some of the pressure off myself, you know, of saying like, oh, wow, I don't know if I experienced God today in some big, weird and wonderful way that I can't explain, right?
Right.
And yet start to realize that I think my task is more noticing God in the ordinary activities of life. I'm not saying I've got it all figured out. I'm not saying there still isn't a mystery to it.
Yeah.
But for me, what I've found is over the last several years, as I've begun to introduce practices in my life that just bring my attention back to God in the ordinary flow of my day, that has changed how I've perceived God, how I've experienced him,
right.
How I've received his love and grace and confidence in my life. So things like short prayers in the morning, just to like set my mind towards God or invite him into my day. I mean, literally 30 seconds, you know, God, take this day and use it. God, like things like that. Things like, you know, just bringing my mind and attention back to God through like a mid-morning 5 minutes of silence, those kinds of things. You know, being in nature is a really big deal in terms of my relationship with God. So even just opportunities, even like in the summertime or through COVID, like being out on the back deck, you know, working out there and just being aware of what's going on when I see something beautiful.
You're a birder, right?
I'm a little bit of a birder. See something beautiful, taking a moment to reflect and thank and give gratitude to God for what I've seen and acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Even for a few seconds, I feel like those types of activities have radically changed the way that I view my life with God. It's kind of like this idea, Dave, that God has always been present in those ordinary moments. He's always been there.
Yeah.
But I didn't have my eyes and ears open to notice it.
Right.
It's almost like I was expecting something so much bigger, so much greater, so much more unique and mysterious that, you know, I don't know. I was waiting for God to kind of get my attention instead of just placing my attention on what God was doing in the ordinary. And so that has radically impacted my life with God over the last few years.
Okay. Yeah. I love that. And it like, so it's got me thinking, thinking about kind of the difference in these moments. And even, you know, I'm a worship guy, spend a lot of time doing it. And my story includes being met, like abiding in God's presence in times of worship and really significant moments in my life where God has met me and kind of those mountaintop experiences. And even in a lot of modern worship music, there is this unhelpful interpretation that it is easy to get to that kind of says like, God's presence come now, right? Like, and I think the call in that, in our music, is to say like, God, make me aware of your presence in this time and in this space. I think there's something incredibly important about our gatherings and our corporate times of worship and like
absolutely.
Something that can be really transformative. But I think part of what you're talking about there is like, that's not it. That's not the whole thing, right?
Right.
And sometimes and maybe God meets us differently in different stages of our life. Surprise, surprise. But like, I know when I was young, I kind of thought like, well, that's it. Like I need to get there as often as I can, as much as I can. And I, you know, I would encourage people to spend time singing in worship and like singing in your car, do, you know, whatever, come to church regularly. That's great. But I love what you're saying about like, we can abide in other ways too. We just need to pay attention.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I mean, we're talking a little bit about the work that's involved, but in some ways, like my previous understanding was required way more work. Like, you know, I felt like I had to go on some spiritual retreat, you know, and be away for days or put myself in some kind of hardship or like be on a missions experience somewhere or do something radical, you know, to experience God's presence.
Yeah.
And those things didn't happen because those things didn't fit into the kind of ebb and flow of my ordinary life.
Yeah.
You know, to do that required a crazy amount of planning and work. And, attention, all those things. Now, I'm not saying those are bad. I mean, certainly they're great. And I think God does show up probably in pretty remarkable ways in a lot of those experiences. Mm-hmm. But when I change my view to kind of say, you know what, in my ordinary life, I can return thanks to God throughout the day. I can be aware of him by just bringing my attention back. I felt like it really, really radically changed things for me. And I started to recognize that, you know what, no, God is revealing himself to me all the time. And I don't necessarily have to, he's doing the work actually. Right. I just have to pay attention.
Right. Yeah. So for someone who hears that and thinks, oh yeah, like that's, I want more of that. I want to stop chasing these mountaintops. I want to like, what do you have a simple practice or like, is it, do they need to start, go on our website and develop the rule of life? Like what framework, what practice, where would you start?
Yeah. I mean, all of those things are options, but you know, the things for me that have really made a difference have been a silence for sure. And things kind of usually earlier in the day that have just kind of acknowledged God's presence, kind of made, you know, made myself aware of that. I would say that, you know, intentionally including like a mid-morning prayer or something has been really important for me. So those would be suggestions I might make, but really, you know, like we talked about on Sunday, it could be something different for different people. You know, it could be something that happens in community. It could be something around a table, you know, it could be something, you know, in terms of wonderful music or something like that. So I think people really need to take to heart what Paul was talking about in terms of choosing disciplines and practices that are personal. They take into account our personality. They take into account our stage of life. Choosing things that are easy for us,
right?
You know, not making it difficult. I think sometimes we have the temptation, like I was saying earlier, that we have to make this hard work or it won't work.
Right.
But you know, choosing things that actually are quite, you know, familiar or enjoyable for us. So for me, like I said, being out in nature is fantastic. I can go out on a short walk or sit out in my backyard and just have a mindfulness about, you know, God. And it's something that comes naturally and that I enjoy. And at the same time, finding some balance. So I don't want to do only that. You know, I want to find maybe something that is also a community practice that I can add on. But I don't want that to be the main thing. Or, you know, I want to do things that are things that come more naturally as the main things.
Okay, yeah. Something that stretches you a little bit. Yeah, but but also lean into the ways that God has wired you and start meeting him in those places.
Absolutely. So I would say if, you know, this is a brand new idea for you, I would say you just want to choose one or two things and start really, really small.
Yeah.
So maybe it is just when I roll out of bed in the morning, I take 10 seconds and I, you know, invite God into my day.
Right.
It could be that simple. Or mid-morning or at lunchtime, you know, at the office or whatever, I put my phone away and maybe I have a few minutes of silence and prayer. Like those things could be really, really basic starts for people. Maybe I listen to worship music instead of sports radio. Like those could be really, really easy starts for people. For someone who's a little bit further along and they already have many rhythms in place, if they're still feeling like they're struggling with that, you know, then maybe it's looking more at this issue of balance. It's like, okay, well, I'm doing all these things that have, you know, come fairly easy for me. Maybe I need to look at the other side of that spectrum. You know, Paul talked about that graph, you know, on Sunday.
And what were the two axes had?
Yeah, two axes. Community. So one is like alone community. Yeah. The other one was abstinence engagement, or you could also say that do and not do.
Right. Okay.
And so you might, you know, if you're a person who's doing lots of stuff that's alone, maybe you're going to add something that's community-based. If you're doing lots of stuff that's, you know, not doing, you know, fasting, maybe it's silence, solitude, things that are more like abstaining from things, then maybe you want to add something that's more on the activity, the doing
Active.
Side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's, yeah, it's really helpful. And I'm guessing we're almost out of time here somehow. I'm guessing, like we often say, if you've got questions about this, if you're not sure where to start, reach out.
Absolutely. Like, yeah. I love talking with people. We do some coaching. So if you're looking to kind of get started, we've got information on our website. We're just finishing up right now, kind of a rule of life workshop.
Yeah.
That's been going really well. And the whole goal of that is to talk about formation and for people to kind of come out of that with like a kind of a tentative draft rule of life on a piece of paper.
Something to start with.
That they could start with. And so we're going to be running that again as well coming up in the spring. And so that's something that people can check out too.
Oh, so excited. Well, Chris, we are now out of time. Thanks for being here today. Any closing thoughts for us? I know you didn't preach on Sunday, but this has been fantastic. So any closing thoughts for this?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've, you know, summed up a lot of what was spoken about. I think maybe the best way to close would just be, go back and take a look at that passage in John 15. Hmm. You know, try and allow the imagery of the vine and branches to kind of sit in your mind, and just think about that. Just think about this idea of like abiding with Jesus, making our home with Him, and reflect on that. You know, is that something that makes sense in your life? If it doesn't, maybe there's some things here to lean into. In terms of spiritual practice that would help with that.
Love it. Well, thank you. It is a joy to be here and a joy to be able to have these conversations. Thanks for listening along. We will be back next week with more Postscript.
See you then.